Okay, Parshas Nitzavim. Some Rashi's for Parshas Nitzavim. Okay, we forget. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah, but it's also Parshas Nitzavim. So what's happening in Parshas Nitzavim? Mechotei Beitzacha V'yad Shoev Meimecha. Everyone's standing together, assembling, and they're forging a bris with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Oshechem, Shiftechem, Ziknechem, Shotrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, Tapchem, Neshechem, Vegercha, Shebegerv Machanecha. Mechotei Beitzacha V'yad Shoev Meimecha. Who are these people? The wood choppers and the water drawers. That sounds a lot like the people in Sefer Yoshua, the Givonim people who tricked Yehoshua into believing that they'd come from a far-off land and really they were locals. And they tricked him into accepting them as Gerim and accepting them into the Jewish people and took a Shvuah, and Yeshua was stuck, so he had to accept them. He couldn't renege on his Shvuah, but he placed him into a socioeconomic level or layer that was different from society because they really weren't part of the Jews. So who are these people? Who are these Chotev Itzecha? They only came around in Yeshua Perek Tes. So Rashi says, no. The same episode happened in the days of Moshe. There were a group of Kenanim who approached Moshe, presumably claiming to be from a far-off land, and asking to buy into the Jewish nationhood. Moshe converted them, Moshe allowed them to enter, and then it turns out they were Kenanim who you're not allowed to convert. So Moshe was stuck with them, so he designated them as Chotvei Etzim and Shoavei Mayim, and those are the people who are now adjuncts to the Jewish people, and they're also part of the Bris. They're not outcasts, they're part of the Bris, because the Jewish people includes a very, very broad variety, not just Jews, people who associate with the Jews and are part of the Jewish future. And we have it today in Israel, where there are a lot of people who live in Israel who aren't Jewish, but many of them have cast their lot with Jewish destiny. What, do you have to do Prizbal now? I think, and not at 8 o'clock, right? Well, we'll see. I think I have to do Prizbal at 8 o'clock. People that are Christians, some Arabs, Druze, some Bedouin, and they're part of Jewish future, and here's a bris that includes them all. The second part you see in Rashi is you're starting to see that when the Jewish people are about to be redeemed and about to take hold of Eretz Yisrael and history is starting to turn in their favor, there's a lot of movement and enthusiasm and magnetic draw to other people. People want to be part of the Jewish race. This is even before you can say that in Sefer Yoshua, it's because they saw the military victories and they were frightened to death. But here, this is before any battles were fought in Eretz Yisrael. There's no battles. But there's a rising tide of support and optimism and affiliation with the Jewish people. They just want to join, even before the wars of Yoshua. They just want to join Moshe. You see it in Megillas Esther, in that interim period between Pesach and Adar, when it was clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was intervening on behalf of Jewish history. They weren't converting. It doesn't say that people in Shushan or people in Paras and Madai converted to Judaism. They just wanted to affiliate with the Jewish people. One of the signs of Geula is when people want to become part of this process. They're sensing the ultimate Geula is the entire world follows the Jewish people. The entire world conveys in Yerushalayim. But as Geula is starting, you're starting to see the first stirrings of people. This was a potential Geula. Had Shlomo's children not split the kingdom, Rechav not split the kingdom, Shlomo not sinned, whatever, this could have been Geula. This could have been the start of a 400-500-year process that would have ended history and ended in utopia. So 500 years earlier, people are starting to say, I want to be part of the Jewish people. I don't want to be Jews, but I want to be part of them. And they're associated as part of them. They're affiliated with the Jewish people. They're part of the Bris. It happened during the first Geula. It happened in the second Geula, the Geula from Bavel. And it looks like Mirat Hashem is happening in this Geula. The renewed interest in Eretz Yisrael, the Abraham Accords with some of our neighbors want to be on better terms with the Jewish people, the greater acceptance of Israel in diplomatic circles. You have to be able to see political events through the lenses of prophecy, not just political events. This is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know how many years it will take. It could be a couple of hundred years off. But the first stirrings of Geula, one of the first signs you can see in Geula, is where people who are otherwise our enemies want to affiliate with us, whether it's happening in the days of Moshe, and it's not just because of the pressures of war, but it's on their own. It happens in the days of Mordechai and Esther, right before the return to Eretz Yisrael, Ezra and Nehemiah. Evidently, it's happening now in our world as nations are trying to become more affiliated. Not everyone, but nations are starting to become more affiliated with the Jewish people. Okay? Another interesting Rashi. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going through this business of enacting a bris, and it sounds like he actually cut an animal in half of the Avrecha Bervis, Rashi says, and somehow sounds a little bit like the Bris Bein Abisarim, not clear whether when Rashi describes Li'avracha that they actually walked through two animals, which was the custom of Bris, or the reason the Torah is using Li'avracha is that's the word associated with Bris, because that's what normally people do. Because during the Bris Ben Abisarim with Avram, Hashem really enacted. The H walked through the two Ben Abisarim. They walked through the pieces of the animals. Did it occur in Parshas Nisavim? It's not clear. But either way, Hashem is justifying. Why am I making a bris? The bris exists already. Why am I even interested in a bris? I already gave tochacha. I already gave you the consequences of proper behavior and improper behavior. So the pasuk says, "Leman hakimos chaloliam, v'hu yelachal elokim." So Rashi says, "Leman hakimos chaloliam, kol kachu nichnas l'troach." Hashem is making such a tircha, so to speak, for himself by enacting a bris. Leman kayemos chalifanav liam, because he wants you to survive. Namely, if you read between the lines, because Hashem knows that human nature is fickle. Hashem knows that religious discipline is frail and brittle. So if there's no bris, and it's all just consequences, and it's all just, if you follow mitzvahs, you'll prosper, and if you don't follow mitzvahs, you'll be eliminated, then you can't survive, because at some point you're going to fall off the grid. So Hashem says, it is in my interest that you stay, and you're sustained in history. Laman hakim oscha lo liyam. I don't want you to fall off, even when you sin. And the only way I can do that is to enact a bris. So therefore, listen to Rashi. L'kol kachu nichnas l'troach. Hashem is going through such tircha. It's not a tircha for Hashem. He wants us to see it as a tircha. So that we'll value the bris. It's something important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem went out of his way to make an extra bris. And he was very busy. And so Hashem went out of his way because he wants us to be retained and he wants us to still be part of his people. That's an interesting Rashi. L'kol kachu matriach. He goes through all this tircha because he wants to create a container that you can't escape from, even when you fail religiously. Okay, then the Torah talks about someone that self-arbitrates, sees all these terrible things happening, but it won't happen to me. Hashem says, if you take that road, if you deny Hashkacha Pratis, if you act that way, then I will count your shogeg sins on top of your mazed sins. Tzmeya is mazed sins. We know why tzmeya is mazed sins, right? Because you have a thirst. You have a thirst for something lust. You have a thirst for some money. You have a thirst for some honor. So these are sins that you thirst for. Tzmeya refers to mazed sins. But why does rava refer to shogeg sins? It's a strange association. What does the word rava mean? Full, kosi ravaya, as opposed to tzmeya, that's why it works in the pasuk. So how in the world would the word rava mean a shogeg sin? Well, the answer is normally ravaz, you're full with wine. Kosi ravaya. Normally it's not about weed or other field. Kosi ravaya, ravoy. So Rashi says that the sins of shogeg are compared to someone who's drunk. Someone who's drunk isn't in control of their own actions. Rava, you've drank too much wine. You've lost control. Someone who sins b'shogeg is therefore compared to a rava, someone that's drunk and intoxicated. Which is an amazing concept, because when we look at our world today, there's a lot of sin and a lot of rebellion, and a lot of atheism, and a lot of betrayal of Hashem, people are very quick to call that mazed. Most people are just drunk. They don't know. When you're drunk, you lose control. You lose control of your decisions. You weren't given it. Basically, most of our world is shogeg. There are some people in our world that are malicious and precalculated, and they're thirsty for blood, and they're thirsty for... But most people who live in our world, non-religious Jews, they're drunk. Not in the sense that they're inebriated or intoxicated. But in the same way that a drunk person doesn't have control of their faculties because they've abdicated it, because something is pressing on their ration, similarly, most people today, they don't have control of their religious decisions. They just haven't been exposed. So you don't even have to get to Tinuk Shenishba. Tinuk Shenishba is a strange situation with someone taken captive. Not exposure, but they're shogeg. People are shogeg. And you see, when Hashem is actually castigating the person, I'll count your shogegs as mazed, that's your punishment. There's a hidden message of bracha, a hidden message of consolation that most people, you would think shogeg is the literal translation in halacha. You don't know this, you know. No, shogeg is anyone who has lost control of their ability to make moral decisions and religious decisions. Most people who have fallen off the religious grid have lost control because something has entered their system, modernism, secularism, atheism, and they've lost their ability. So they're not rebelling against Hashem. Finally, Rashi has always bothered me to be exhausted beyond belief to understand things sometimes, because things you think with your mind, you have to think with your heart. Hashem says, if it's not just one person that worships the Avodah Zarah, but everyone, then I will punish you, then you're going to Galus, and people will say, why is this happening? Dor HaCharon will say, why is this happening? Amas Hashem Kachal Aretz Azaltz Mechari. And they'll say, because they didn't follow Hashem, Malashe Azvu, Esbris Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Ve'icharaf Hashem Baretz Ahi, Vayitshem Hashem Me'alat Masam. Very strange word, Vayitshem. You don't see that word too often in Tanakh. It appears once in Yirmiyah. Hinini Nocham Me'alat Masam. Rashi interprets the word Vayitshem, he will take them, B'taltalinan, he will carry them. It's fascinating. If you look through, I did a quick look through all the Tochachas today. There are many different words to describe Hashem moving us out of Eretz Yisrael. The only word Hashem doesn't use is v'gerashtem and v'harashtem. Those harsh words that describe our emptying Eretz Kinan of the pagan, idolatrous inhabitants. So Hashem says, I will sprinkle you, v'eschem ezareh, v'olecheschem, and I'll take you, el goy. I will carry you from one place to another. Hashem is still taking us to another place. We cannot be dislodged from Eretz Yisrael. The soul of our people is tethered to the soul of this land. The Jewish people cannot be severed from this land. It is a metaphysical impossibility. So those words of v'gerashtem, which you think, or v'harashtem, are never used about Jewish exile. Jewish exile is always described in euphemisms. I will sprinkle you. Okay, v'fitzcha, I'll sprinkle you, then you're not in Israel, right? You're sprinkled in Detroit. You're not living in Yerushalayim. Ezareh, I'll scatter you. Okay, you're not in Yerushalayim. V'nisachtem, you'll be loosened. Right, like an axe, the metal will be loosened. Vayitshem, I will carry you. Okay, if I carry you somewhere else, like Rav Shimon, Gora Damita Smita Savsal Vakise, it's a psik ratio. If I carry you somewhere else, it's a psik ratio to the Nichale, you can't be in Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem never uses those words, v'gerashte, or v'harashti. That's the word Hashem uses when we're meant to dislodge people that don't belong in Eretz Yisrael because they're paganists. The Jewish people cannot be divorced, cannot be emptied from this land. And every time Hashem takes it, it hit me like today when I saw it, every time Hashem takes it to have Eretz Yisrael, it's some other word. I'll sprinkle you, I'll scatter you, I'll loosen you, I'll carry you. Just say it. You'll exile us. No, no, no. That word doesn't occur in the Torah. Vayitshem Hashem me'alat masam bi'afim v'chimor b'ketzik gadol. Vayashlichem al eretz acheret chiyomadeh. He threw us, he carries us, he loosens us, he moves us, he dislodges us, he transports us, but never disassociates us or decletes us from our hold in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so a couple interesting Rashis. One is the Chotvei Eitzim in Moshe's day, people starting to affiliate with the Jewish people, even though they're not Jewish. Number two, Hashem goes through all this tircha just to create a bris. Number three, that shogeg sins are compared to someone who's drunk, someone who's lost his capacity for cognitive and volitional decisions. And number four is, by Yitshem Hashem Me'alad Masam, Hashem will carry us somewhere else, like, you know, carry you somewhere else. Okay, if I carry you somewhere else, then you're no longer in Eretz Kinan, but there's no direct and frontal severing of the Jewish people from this land. It cannot happen. Okay, we got to go do Prisbol now. So, did you guys do it already yesterday? So I got to be on a Basin today. So Hashir probably around 9 or something. Okay, so my turn to be on Basin. Okay, we have a quick share today. I slept in a couple nights. Someone's in my family's not feeling well, so I've been up pretty much all night. Thank you.